Is that Janet?
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Barbara Caldwell and...
And Barbara, do you guys talk to each other because you are every time only seconds apart?
Hi, Barb.
Hi.
What a surprise, huh?
Wow. Thank you. Welcome to the call, sisters. We're here with David and Marilyn, and BBS has joined. Actually, we are live on BBS right now. So if there are people on BBS listening already, welcome to the call. And about the next person here on the conference call. This is the Monday BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Stephen from Colorado.
Hello, Stephen. Good evening and welcome to you.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm better, thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Anyway,
Stephen, are you anywhere near?
I didn't get those emails, but Dave, did you get them?
I just sent Hi something. I'm not sure
okay.
That's what he's referring to, but... If it's not, let me know. But I didn't get anything. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm just losing track of time.
Hey.
Take a look, Heish, and see if that's what you were talking about.
Yes, it is the one I see already.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Stephen, where do you live in Colorado? Anywhere near Colorado Springs?
I'm in Highlands Ranch.
Okay, I don't know where that is. How far from Denver or something are you?
It's about 20 minutes south of Denver. You know, it's around Littleton. Littleton.
And what's the weather out there today? My daughter-in-law lives in Colorado Springs.
I think it was, and it's supposed to be 70 tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
But we're about 60 miles north of the Springs.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But it's really nice right now, so.
You guys are lucking out then.
Well, and welcome to the next person. We had somebody else join in. This is the Monday BBS call. Please say your name and location.
This is Flo in Michigan.
Hello, good evening.
Oh, how are you?
How are you? I'm doing okay. Going a little crazy here. My mom's in a nursing home, and I'm running back and forth, but I'm all right.
Oh, hon, I'm sorry. I know how hard that is.
Well,
she went down a flight of stairs.
Oh, jeez.
Well, thanks for being here, Flo, and we will I'll put her in the light.
Thank you.
And we had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Diane in Minnesota.
Hi, Diane. Welcome back to the call. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great.
We haven't heard you in a while, Flo.
You know, I've been here, but I just didn't say my name because I just didn't... say my name.
Oh, well, I was missing you.
I'm glad to hear you, too.
And we had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
A silent one.
Welcome to the call.
Is it Wynn?
It's not Wynn.
No?
I think.
And who is the lady from Minnesota?
That is Diane.
Yeah.
Diane. Where in Minnesota, Diane?
I'm near St. Cloud. Is this the guy in Superior?
No.
He is Superior, but he's not...
I'm laughing.
What did I miss here?
This is David.
This is David, Indiana. This is humble, inferior Dave.
I'm near
St. Cloud. Yeah, Don is the one from Superior.
I think he had asked me that one time a while back, so.
Oh, Dave? He's got memory loss.
Thanks for having my back there, Marilyn.
You're welcome.
You're like the person who walks in front with the sign, village idiot coming.
Yeah, he's behind me.
Good evening and welcome to the Monday BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Hello, Susan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Well, hi, Steve.
Yeah, let me first welcome this person. This is the Monday BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Oh, I'm Ruth from Minnesota, but I... Yeah.
But thanks for being here, Ruth. Welcome to the call.
Did you want to check your name tag?
But I want to check my name. I could do that.
I want to welcome the next person to the call. Please say your name and location.
I'm Paul Walden. I'm in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, welcome to the call, Paul.
Hi, it's nice to be here with you guys. I think what we're doing here is awesome.
All right.
Good to have you, Paul.
The Bears. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Can somebody else join in? Welcome to the call. Name and location.
Joel in Chicago.
And somebody else from Chicago. Welcome to the call. And somebody else joined in. Rock. Your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Hello, Nancy. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right.
Hi, Nancy. We're all here tonight.
And it's Joel from Chicago, right?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for coming back, Joel.
Always.
And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Carmen in Dallas.
Good evening and welcome to the call.
I can barely hear her.
I know it's she's from Dallas, but I could not hear your name actually.
It's Lonnie.
All right.
Oh, Lonnie.
Thank you.
What a beautiful name.
Yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday BBS. Say your name and location. But only if you want to. Welcome to
Don's got that music a little loud, I think.
It is a little loud.
Yeah.
And Don heard that, and then he turned it off.
Hi, good afternoon.
Take it all the way away, Don, but...
Over California.
Oh!
California?
Yes.
Who was that?
Hi, my name is Maddie. I'm calling from Alhambra,
California. Funny. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And more people joined in. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. This is Teddy in New York.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Teddy.
Thank you.
Thank
How are you guys doing in New York?
Not well.
Well, we're sending love and prayers your way.
Yeah.
Thanks for the good
help. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Hey, hi. What's up?
Evening, everybody. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Nicholas Cox.
Good evening, and welcome to the call. And more people have joined. Welcome, everybody. If you have a chance, say your name and location.
Joe from Roanoke, Virginia.
Hey, Joe. Welcome to the call.
This is Carla.
Nicholas from Montana.
Hello, Nicholas. Welcome to the call.
Carla is in there, too.
Hi.
Here I am.
Hi.
Hi, Carla.
And
how is it sounding, Lynn?
You sound fantastic. Hi, not Lynn. Just trying to find a...
Gary Dubois from Los Angeles.
Hello, Gary from Los Angeles. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And a bunch of people are coming in. Welcome, everybody. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Yvonne from Florida.
Call.
Lisa.
Lisa. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, hi.
And more people are coming in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Gretchen Misty in Arkansas.
Hello from Arkansas. Welcome to the...
Don from Aspen, Colorado.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call.
It's Ron from Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hey, Ron. Thanks for being here, man.
Hey, good to hear you. Hi.
Good to hear you, too, man. What are you doing?
That is so loud.
Everybody,
hello.
Please say your name and location.
Steve, West Palm Beach.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the call.
I'm Cindy in Peoria, Arizona.
Hello, Cindy. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
Ben, we hear you. Ben, I just mute the line for a second. We had a lot of background noise. Are you there, Ben? Let me unmute. Ben, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, I did you not as a moderator?
No. Let me call back in. I'll be right back in. Okay? I blew it. I'm not a moderator.
All right, all those people who just joined in, rock, say your name and location.
Michael?
Hey, thank you, rock, to the call, Martin.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Sounds like bees on the line.
Montana.
Quality. Was there somebody from Montana?
Yeah, it was Donna.
Yep. All right, Donna, welcome to the call.
Thanks,
good evening, and welcome to the call. Say your name and location. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
All right, I'm back as a moderator.
All right.
Sorry about that. Is Carla here?
Carla is here, yes. Let me mute the lines now.
Okay.
Carla, are you present?
I am.
All right.
Hello.
Let's start our recording.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
This conference is being recorded.
Good evening, everybody. Everybody on our conference call. Everyone on BBS Radio. This is our Monday night call. And what an unimaginative name, our Monday night call. But you know what? There's something good about being understated, okay? It's like this is the great Carla Ruckert and the phenomenal Winfrey bringing you the current information from other dimensions of those group souls who created our planet and are moderating the shift. How does that sound? I like the Monday Night Conference call. But for those of you that need chutzpah, you can go with the second one. And those of you that were here last week know that we had an incredible presentation on the raw material and actually specific things in the raw material. And I did it by myself with Terry helping a bit. And this week we have Carla on, who is the channel from the raw material. Now, why is this raw material so important? First of all, none of you are going to be able to know if it's real or not. It sounds like science fiction. Yet, it puts a lot of missing pieces together of the puzzle of how life works. And for many people, it changed their lives. And I can say that if it was not for the raw material, I'm sure I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing. I don't think David Wilcock would be doing what he's doing. And there's numerous other people who have studied the raw material and who have come up with a similar point of view. They wouldn't be doing what they've been doing. And Carla is the understated, soft-spoken person who, in 1981, was asked a question by her channeling partner, and this voice came through her that said, "I am Ra. The nature," I'm paraphrasing here, "the nature of your question has required, is so deep that we were required to come forth and answer it." And for the next 3 years, Carla went into a trance, and Don Elkins, who was her partner, and Jim McCarty, I don't think Jim was asking questions. He was part of the support system, correct?
Well, he asked some questions and gave them to Don before the
before the session
began. And Don would always handle them first, and then he would get into the conversation again. So it's clearly marked when Jim asks a question. It's rare.
Mm-hmm.
There were sometimes
when
I did too. You know, you just want to sometimes.
Right. So let me tell you, in my words, who Ra is, was, is. And Carla can correct me, but I'm a pretty good student of it, so I'm pretty close to understanding it. The interesting thing was, I asked some questions in my own channelings with Daphne when that first started, and asked questions about the Ra group, about all kinds, about David Wilcock, because I was, as you've heard me say, it was like I was in a science fiction movie, and I'm trying to think I must be making a mistake somewhere. I still think that, except I can't find the mistake. You know, it all hangs together. And now all of you are watching me, and I assume many of you are looking for mistakes. I hope you do, but looking for some area where it's not congruent, where it doesn't all fit together. And the amazing thing was, the material that I was getting, which was not from the Ra group at that time, it was from the Elohim group, or they said they were the Elohim group, was all matching the material of the Ra material through Carla, which was pretty amazing, because I'm talking to this woman, well, she doesn't know this stuff, and it's precisely the same. So if Ra is who they say they are, and everyone has to challenge this in their own level, never to assume anything, but at least expose yourself to it and see how it fits together. If Ra is who they say they are, this is an incredible
muted
perspective on the way things work in terms of human evolution. And since everyone listening today is a human, I assume, then this is like an inside track to things that you could never know in your conscious mind as a human. And yet, it is how you grow. It is how you evolve. It is what's happening in your future lifetimes. It is who on the other side you can ask for help from and get the feeling for who they are. And it's the feeling for who they are is not just knowing their name. You can't just say, "Ra, I want this. Ra, give me that." It's these other side, other dimensional beings. And they're not really beings, they're group beings. And all of this is so new that the first time you're hearing this, it takes a while of hearing it to even get the feel for it, okay? How does the universe work? What happens when you die? Who are the helpers on the other side that you can trust? How does the negative work? Why is this realm so screwed up? What is this shift all about? Well, a lot of this was explained in these conversations with this voice that said it was the rock group. And just to bring you up to speed very quickly, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but if you were here last week, we went into more detail. In human evolution, when we die, what we call our soul, our energy pattern, continues. And it seeks another body to have more experience. And it keeps coming back. And most of us have had hundreds or even thousands of lifetimes. And every time we take a body, we're amnesiac. We don't remember anything. And yet we are impacting our soul. We're feeding data into it. We're taking data out of it. So there's this invisible, unconscious relationship that's constantly happening every moment you're alive as an interaction between you and your, what we're calling your soul or your energy. I would say it's your soul is the energy part of you that has separated itself as an individuated energy from this great energy of the universe. And it's separated, but it's not really separated. It only is temporarily separated, but at the same time, it's not separated. It's connected. But we've lost the awareness of the connection as humans. And when we make the connection that we are connected to all that is, we are suddenly living the experience of what the Ra group calls the law of one. And then it's not just a doctrine, it is an experience. You look at other things and you look at other people and you feel the connection with them. You feel the compassion and the empathy, and you feel the love and the care. It's a natural result of the connection with the law of one. So we go through all these lifetimes, and if we input the right data into what we call our soul, which you could look at like a computer, then we evolve. And if we don't input the right data, we either stay the same or we even could devolve. Now, how do you know what the right data is? How do you know how to input the right data from your little conscious life into this energy that you can't even see that's you so that you can evolve? Now, that is where the understanding of the Ra group can be incredibly important, because they're kind of explaining it so that you can have this new information to decide how to input data so that you continue evolve your evolution. And the way the evolution works is they call it densities, that we go through new densities, and the densities kind of approximate to your chakras, your seven chakras, your energy bodies in your body. And that most of our planet is operating on third chakra, and that's your solar plexus, which represents power and individuality. And right now, there's this great opportunity to open up to the fourth density or the fourth chakra, which represents your heart area, which is compassion and empathy. And the Ra group explains themselves to be a multiplicity of beings, millions or billions. I should ask Carla, because I could never decide if they ever said billions or millions, but loads of them, lots of them. And they have gone through this whole process that we're in the middle of right now. And they graduated the need to have a physical body. And they existed as pure energy. And they act as a helper and a guide, so they say, for planets at lower levels of evolution, like us. And they say when they were going through their evolution, there was another group soul, it didn't have a name, that acted as a helper and a guide for them. And so how does the Ra group act as a helper and a guide? Why is that important now? Well, Carla was talking about this in 1981, and right now, everyone's talking about it. Our planet is in the middle of a shift. Now, we talked about going from third chakra to fourth chakra, or the Earth is going to another level of energy. And if you use the chakra analysis, the Earth is going from third chakra to fourth chakra. And right now, the Earth is in fourth chakra. And that's what they say. And remember, this is not to be believed. This takes a lot of study to integrate. So I'm not creating a new belief pattern here. I'm telling you this is what the Ra group said, this is what the Elohim group said, this is what David Wilcox said, and this is what Jesus said, okay? So I'm probably a bunch of others, but I'm giving you the ones that we're concerned with here on this call. So what happens when the Earth goes to fourth chakra? There is a division of souls that take place. Now, you know, some people don't like to hear this. And if you don't want to know what they say, disconnect right now, okay? Because this is not meant to create fear, and we're sharing this in a very loving environment here. And if you want to know how the game is played or how these group souls explain the game is played, this is what we're going to talk about. The Earth is moving into fourth chakra. In fact, the Earth is in fourth chakra, fourth density. You can use chakra. I'm using them interchangeably. I don't know if Carla would, but some people can relate to the fourth chakra easier. So the Earth is now a heart-related planet, a compassion-related planet, except for a human to participate in this new Earth, their heart chakra has to be open slightly more than half, or they need a dedication to service to others slightly more than half, or they can't participate in this new Earth. And what happens is the universe accommodates this, and this is not punishment. This is not bad. It's just the way it works. Why is it not punishment? Because there's no such thing as time. So when you talk about having more time to go through your lessons, it's an illusion, but eventually everyone gets there. So in order for a human to participate, their heart chakra has to be open. So this is my way of saying it. Their energy fits into the Earth's energy. And if your energy doesn't fit, you get separated out. And if you get separated out, according to the Ra group, you get moved to another planet in another star system to start over. The lessons of the third density, the third chakra. And how do you move from one place to another? Well, guess what? The Ra group says they move you. They move souls. They are administrators of this event. And so if that's true, we are now having access to this incredible information from the horse's mouth. The group soul that acts as a group energy that moves souls from one place to another so they can continue their evolution. And by reading their material, Carla's material, you get to feel their energy. And if you feel their energy, that's a really good step I would think, in ensuring your graduation from this realm. When you come onto these calls, the energy is on the calls. My goal is to create an environment where these energies are available to anyone who tunes in. And so you don't have to run around in your own life, although you can, to say, who am I going to love? I need to open up my fourth chakra. It's like that can be quite a dilemma, because even with your highest intent, it can be really hard to find loving people in this realm. And some of you have gotten married. Who's that laughing in the background? Is that Heise?
That's Carla.
It's Carla. So so we want to create in this, on these calls, a loving environment and a safe space so that you can hold that space, and so you don't go looking for it into your life, but you actually become the person that provides it for others in your life. And on that note, I hope I haven't misled any of you according to the way Carla understands it. I'll let her explain it and make any corrections from her point of view.
Okay, no, you're fine. The only thing that I would say that's a little bit different is, I've heard you say this before, you say that Don asked a specific question that called forth those of Ra, and that's not exactly true. Here's what they said when they, the very first thing. They said, we have watched your group, we have been called to your group, for you have a need for the diversity of experiences and channeling, which go with a more intensive, or as you might call it, advanced approach to the system of studying the patterns of the illusions of your body, your mind, and your spirit, which you call seeking the truth. We hope to offer you a somewhat different slant upon the information, which is always and ever the same. So it was really that, you know, Don had sought with incredible intensity since the 50s. I came on board in 62, and I was already seeking. I had been not precisely seeking, but I had been trying to serve my beloved since I was a baby. And I, when I was a tiny thing, I was already trying to do that, and I had experiences with Jesus personally in my magic forest that I would go to when I was supposed to be taking a nap, which I never could do. And so instead, I would sort of slide out into another place, and it was magical. And Jesus was there, along with, you know, the trees that talked and the animals that talked, and you know, I had a doll that not a doll, but it was a cat that was all curled up, and it was my favorite doll, I called it, and it could talk there, but Jesus never said a word. Anyway, that was, you know, a long, for me, I wasn't nearly as old as Don, he was 14 years older, but since I had been seeking since I was a little thing, I had been seeking as long as he, and then when Jim came aboard, he was a tremendously powerful guy that studied in silence for most of his life. He was typically stoic in the Nebraska cowboy Boy Scout tradition of yep, nope, and maybe, and he had sought as hard as he could ever since he awoke in college, and he had moved heaven and earth, really, to try to find a way to be, to seek and to serve. And Jim isn't the kind of person that would say, I have decided I'm going to try to seek. He would become aware of the fact that he needed to seek, and that would be it. It was like he became aware of the fact that he loved me, and so he loves me. He, you know, it's just, there's nothing more to it than, he became a vegetarian this year. Because he became aware that he needed to become a vegetarian. It was he finding his essence had told him there was something else he needed to be doing, and he did it. That's the way he is. So here these three people were, Don with his tremendous wisdom, me with unbounded love for my beloved, and Jim with an enormous amount of power, ready to serve the way Elkins and I were doing the best he could, and absolutely, you know, the three of us were absolutely dedicated. Our lives were given. And so I think what happened was we became, as a group, and this is the other thing that Wynn sometimes gets wrong. He says, Carl is channeling. Carl is, you know, this. And it's the group. When you have channeling, you don't have a dynamic of one person. You have a dynamic of however many people there are in the group. There were, for Wynn, there was the dynamic of Wynn and Daphne, or Wynn and Terry. And what happens with these kinds of sources of information is you have a dynamic between the two people. And what's happening between the two people is reflected in what's happening in the vibrations that you're able to pull in. And because of the fact you're two instead of three, you have not yet become... what am I trying to say, Jim? You have not... He's in the room. You have not yet become infinite. You're still two people. But when you double again and you become three, there is no longer a way that, you can bounce the relationship of the two people anymore. And with three, it crosses over into infinite information that does not reflect any one, you know, relationship, nor does it reflect all of the relationships. It's become infinite. So it's really the three of us that were able to pull in that contact. And Ron himself said, you know, there was no way to be able to channel through me until I was precisely tuned and until I had enough battery power to pull in a powerful source like they were. So those are the two things, and that neither of them are particularly important. But it's good to know that it wasn't a specific question. There's no one specific question that is the question. It's that you're seeking with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength.
It was the energy of the group. It was the energy of the group.
Right, it was the energy
space.
Of the group,
yeah.
And it wasn't specific. It was the essence of seeking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beyond a certain one question or another question. It's
yeah.
all questions.
Okay. I won't
so
say
that's
that.
The
again.
Only two.
But
you
I
can
won't
say
that
it
again.
The other way. You can say the LNL has found the LNL group has channeled. You know, and that is accurate. But you can also go back and say Carla has channeled. It's just you and I know the difference.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's my feeling that as what I do has evolved, there's people on our line that have become part of the group that are holding the space.
Almost
and,
definitely. Mm-hmm.
And the quality of the energy and the quality of the information that we do when we're public actually, in many cases, are you on the line, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, did you unmute yourself? You can give your feedback on this, but the energies of the people on the line help us with our tuning. Like when there's a lot of new people on the line, it's very hard to do a channeling, and I don't usually do it because all the new people are loading the circuits. And we can feel
scattered.
It. Yeah. But when people start coming in on the line over and over and over again, and particularly people like Heis, who is there introducing himself to people, he starts holding the frequency, and other people are holding the frequency, and we don't even see them, but I can feel it. I can feel it right on the line, and the quality of information is extraordinary, and I'd say, that just come through, Terry. you want to share your experience on that, Terry?
It's really uplifting. I feel really uplifted after channeling. And I'm just kind of amazed if I re-listen to it. It's like I'm in the distant background, like I'm an observer watching. And I'm just amazed at the stuff that comes through.
We did a live session yesterday. We were in Sedona, and actually I gave a public talk, and it was not, I haven't done a thing where I do something in the public and I say, come here, Terry Channel. I don't feel comfortable doing that. But if I do a public talk and I kind of, the people start tuning into the energies of me, and I'm holding those energies, oftentimes towards the end, it feels very good to bring in a little message. And so we did that yesterday, and actually I think that was one of the most strongest public things we ever did. And I think the reason is because there were a few people in the audience that have been on our line, and David in Mesa, Jim drove down from Salt Lake City, Sam in San Diego, and they made big commitments to show up, and they were really helping to hold the space. I don't think people realize that even when they do that, because it looks like a show, an event. But the truth of the matter is, those people that start holding the frequencies help pull the other people into the frequencies. Whereas if no one's holding the frequency, it's like constantly pumping something up, and it gets deflated and pumping up. And afterwards, I'm always very, very tired and not apt to have Terry bring in a message because I don't think it'll be focused. So in any case, you know, I had a couple things that I opened up in this raw material book one, because our human minds are very curious, and that's good, because it's your curiosity that got you here. And so we can bless your curiosity. In fact, what I've learned is when I want to attract people to listen to me, I can't tell them what I'm really going to do. I just come and say, here, the author of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, or something that makes them curious. But once they're in the room, then as long as I satisfy their curiosity, I can go where I think it's going to be the most important. So Ra, I talked about, is this idea of moving souls from one planet to another. It's an incredible idea. And we wonder how all this works, and most of the times people say, well, it must be in God's hands. This is how God works, through these group souls like the Ra group. And I don't even know if I can say the group souls like the Ra group, because I don't know if there's any others like the Ra group. And as far as our planet is concerned, it is the Ra group. And but in our solar system, let's see, they talked about Maldek. And they talked about, this was in book one, at one time in your space-time, in what is your past, there was a population of third-density beings upon a planet which dwelt within your solar system. There are various names by which this planet has been named. The vibratory sound complex most usually used by your peoples is Maldek. These entities, destroying their planetary sphere, in other words, the population of Maldek destroyed their planet, were forced to find room for themselves upon this third density, which is the only one in your solar system, at their time-space present, which was hospitable and capable of offering the lessons necessary to increase their mind-body-spirit distortions with respect to the Law of One. So they're using some unusual vocabulary there, but what they're saying is Earth was where Maldek was the planet that destroyed itself, and became the asteroids. And the beings on Maldek ended up being very screwed up. I believe the word was a tangled mass, because I believe it was a nuclear explosion. And when we had this in our Elohim channelings, where they said, if a human is in a nuclear explosion, that they will fragment their soul. And it takes a lot of work to unfragment it. Ra called it a tangled mess, and that they were to, or a knot. Yeah, a knot of fear, and they were moved to Earth. And so the question was asked, how did they come to Earth? And the answer was, they came through the process of harvest and were incarnated through the process of incarnation from your higher spheres within this density. Question, when did this happen? This occurred 500,000 of your years ago. Question, is all of the Earth's human population originally from Maldek? This is a new line of questioning and deserves a place of its own. This is Ra. The ones who were harvested to your sphere from the sphere known before its dissolution as other names, but to your people as Maldek, incarnated, many within your Earth's surface rather than upon it. The population of your planet contains many various groups harvested from other second dimension and cycled third dimension spheres. You are not all one race or background of being. The experience you share is unique to this time-space continuum. Now, I had asked the question in the Elohim channelings, and they said the Earth was an experiment. And the way that I interpreted what they said was that they were going to bring many souls to this planet from different planetary sections and see if they could evolve them together and create some kind of homogenization, I guess. And I think, now this is me talking, that since everyone came from different planetary locations, not only in our solar system, but from other places and other planets in the universe, that if this planet could be evolved, then all those people still had links to where they came from, and it would create this huge quantum evolutionary leap in the universe. And I think that was somewhere in the original idea. And I think in current time, they're kind of thinking that maybe it didn't work so well. You want to make any comment on that, Carla?
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that at some point they said there were 16 different races. And Don said about it, this is not the Ra group, this is Don talking, he said that it felt to him as though the Earth was like one of those schools that they put people in when it's a detention school, you know, when you can go into the regular schools because you've just been too wicked as a child, so you're in this system of there's just a lot of people that have a history of not wanting to evolve and not wanting to stay on track at all. And, you know, so it's a crazy place. Plus, the other part of the experiment, of course, is that they wanted to have a completely free will choice for people to stop doing that and to start getting on track, to start waking up to their actual essence, you know, the question, the answer to the question, who am I? So, you know, people ask the question, who am I? But it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of inner seeking to get through the various masks that people can wear, both to make them look good and, if they feel badly about themselves, to accentuate their evilness. And to get through all of that and to what we all have in common, that consciousness that we have in common that makes us all one. So we are in a situation, and I'm including wanderers here, because when wanderers come to Earth, they have to accept the fact that they're going to lose their memory, and they're going to have to find it again within the confines of Earth so that they can take up their task and their mission, which is to lighten the consciousness of planet Earth. So all of us here are in the same boat. We all have to sort of wake up and smell the coffee. And the great thing about, it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening in the first 25,000 years cycle. It wasn't happening in the second. And this is where, as typical Ra understatement, we began to become concerned.
Right.
And
in
so
other words,
a lot of... Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually just had the page open to that, and where Don asks, what is the length in our years of one of these cycles? So when we talk about these cycles, these 25,000-year cycles, these 75,000-year cycles, it's very similar to the idea of astrological cycles, where a planet moves around the sun, it moves into different signs, the energies change, the planets go into different configurations, except these are not astrological cycles of planets. These are galactic cycles, I believe, where galaxies move, interface with each other. And when there's certain configurations, it becomes the end of a cycle, the end of a 25,000-year or 50 or 75,000. And it allows for this huge energy to move onto our planet. You see, it's energy, the receiving of energy, that makes us evolve. It's not ideas. It's not beliefs. It's energy. It's the energy you feel when you're in love. It's the energy you feel when you're in a spiritual group and things are sacred. It's the energy you feel when you're on a mountaintop, looking down in a valley, and your breath gets taken away. And it's the energy. What were the pyramids for? The pyramids were so people could feel energy. Because energy moves into your system, and now this is not part of the raw material, but it's part of what I've come to understand. It moves into your chakras, and there's a connection between your chakras and your DNA, which opens up your DNA strings, which the DNA strings are anchors for new frequencies. And when they open up, you start to hold that frequency or that energy, and your heart starts to stay open more. And the way these energies, these DNA strands open is exposure to energy, exposure to loving energy, unconditional loving energy, makes your heart open. If you open to it. I mean, you can be exposed to the energy, but if you don't open to it, nothing happens. So the pyramids, as I understand it, were energy-focusing devices that people could go in to and experience high levels of initiation. And right now on our planet, it would be as if our whole planet was a pyramid focusing energy so that each of us can activate ourselves. Except if we have to get enough of ourselves out of the way to feel the energies. Because this is the end of the cycle where the energy is the highest. And that we need to be able to receive that energy to create that activation. Does that match your understanding, Carla?
Yeah, it is in the raw material, actually. They talk about the love light energy of the Creator that comes into the sun, sends it into the earth, it beams into the earth, and the earth bounces it right back from the center of the earth, right back through the soles of your feet, right through your body, and out to the top of your head, if you will allow it to come through. So mm-hmm. That's why, you know, when when you're more and more focused on this energy and want that energy and go to that energy, you're more and more you're holding that space, as you say. I was thinking to myself, sometimes, you know, you think, oh, gosh, this is just also so spiritual. It's religious, you know. It's you got to be holy or something. And it's not true, because I used to sing, for a while I sang folk songs, and then in the 70s I was reincarnated as a backup singer for rock and roll. And in both cases, when you got in front of an audience of any size, and especially I sang before 20,000 people a couple of times, and the love that's coming from those people knocks your socks off. It really does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know that you are simply an instrument that's offering a way for everybody to feel this incredible energy. And you can put it down to being high, being stoned, being this, being that. It's not so. You break through all that if there is enough music, and the music takes you and puts you, you know, like people that are sensitive to art, the art takes you. It's whatever takes you and whatever moves you to that place, and you feel that energy, and it's not that you're trying to get the energy, you don't know the energy. The Creator is a certain configuration of energy that is unconditional love. So what you're trying to do is match that unconditional love vibration. And you say, well, I don't know what that is. Yes, you do. It's coming through your body, an infinite supply all the time. And every time, as you say, when you're having one of those feelings that takes you beyond yourself, if you're in love or if you're taken beyond yourself in music or in church or in any way that you're taken to that place where you feel that energy, and you're not distorted from that energy by worrying about this or thinking about that or fearing the other. You're letting it all go, and you're just giving yourself to this energy. Then you've got it. And even if you don't have it for very long, you can remember it. And the memory of it alone is enough to tell you that it's the truth. So, you know, what you're trying to do in your everyday life is to use the things that happen to you, especially the things that are difficult.
You know, once you have the experience of the energy, once you have it, you can keep looking for it, because now you know what to look for. You know what to orient yourself towards. Mm-hmm. The first experience of that energy for someone, I think, is in previous times, it's what they called initiation, where in a real initiation, whether it's in an individual or whether it's in a ceremony, is a circumstance that brings that energy in so that someone else can feel it. And once you feel it, the problem with humans is when they feel something good, they think it's the thing outside of them that brought that in. They have a hard time connecting that it was them and that was triggered by something outside of you. So people get hooked into a guru or to the law of one, or, you know, it's a duality. It's hard to put it exactly right into words, because something outside you did trigger it, and it can keep triggering it. But ultimately, it's only triggering a higher aspect of something that's inside you, that ultimately, if you keep chasing it, you'll get it, and you'll own it, and you'll see how it works. But it's hard to exactly get it right. And by the way, when I was saying this is not a raw material, I was actually, the idea of activating DNA strands, is that in the raw material? That's what I was referring to.
No, they don't talk about DNA. They just talk about, they're much more general than that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually what I meant. I know that the rest of it was in there. But here's some stuff in the raw material about this period we're in. The question is, what is the length of our years of one of these cycles? One major cycle is approximately 25,000 of your years. there are three cycles of this nature during which those who have progressed may be harvested at the end of all of the three major cycles. That is approximately between 75 and 76,000 of your years. All are harvested, regardless of their progress, for during that time, the planet itself has moved through the useful part of that dimension and begins to cease being useful for the lower levels of vibration within that density. Now, that's a fairly intense paragraph, and I think I'd like to discuss that, because what I hear them saying there...
What session is that in, and I'll get it up.
That is Book 1, Session 6.
Okay.
And it's page 100 of the PDF.
Okay.
Let's take that sentence apart. And keep in mind, because the Ra says it, doesn't mean it's true. Test everything. So we're going to talk about it, not to say we believe it, but consider that maybe it's accurate in what they're really saying. Because we are at the end of the cycle right now. They have said, in 1981, they said in approximately 30 years, we will be at the cycle end. And one of the questions that many people are asking, is this cycle end going to be a dramatic boom and everything shifts? Or is it going to be gradual? Now, in my questions to our sources, they seem to indicate it's going to be gradual, and that there could be some earth changes that happen. There could be things that occur that the negative elite produce, and that the more cooled out people are, the less fear, the slower and better and more gradual the changes are, that we are part of the creating of how those changes happen. Now, in this particular paragraph, they say, all are harvested regardless of their progress. All, everybody has to move to another realm. Some are going to be going to a new Earth, and some are going to be going to another planet. They're saying that...
Well, they have to go to another third density planet if they haven't gotten the vibration together to go into fourth
density. Right.
So that's another planet. But Earth is positive. So those that have been graduated into fourth density positive get to stay.
They get to stay on Earth, okay?
Yeah.
So they're still harvested, but they stay, okay?
Yeah.
But then they say the planet itself has moved through the useful part of the dimensions and begins to cease being useful for the lower levels of vibration within that density. Now, somebody said that the new root chakra is going to be the heart chakra. Did you ever hear that? Anything like that?
No, but that sounds good.
It's an interesting idea,
I mean,
huh?
It's all about the heart, isn't it? The next density is the density of love, so that's the chakra, the love chakra is the green, the fourth chakra.
Well, say, for example, we're in third density, but we still have a second density and a first density that's part of our bodies. So being in the third density didn't make the third density the root chakra. There was still a root chakra. That's a question. We're never going to come to that answer right here. I'm just throwing it out. the thing is that... We are not experts. We are all witnesses to all of this, and that we have to figure it out just like you do. That's why a call like this is so helpful, because I think Carla and I have a pretty in-depth understanding of the raw material. And so we could go on for the next 3 hours talking, and guess what? We're still bozos.
Yeah.
For those of you listening that think we're not bozos, you're wrong, okay? We're all a bunch of And the one thing I know is that when I act out of care and compassion, my energy comes up. And that when I am talking to you guys, and I feel your love, and you feel my love, we are moving into our heart chakras. And so if you're looking for something to follow, I'm telling you, we're a bunch of bozos. So this is not something to follow. This
please
is something
join
to
us.
Yeah.
And we will stick together.
Exactly. This is something that we participate in, we explore, and we allow ourselves a forum to interact at a higher level of vibration than most humans do. And many, you know, we hardly touched into this. We have to come back soon because I think this is very productive to have this kind of a call. And on that note, it's 7:59, and they're not cutting us off, or else they already did. And if they did, we'll say goodbye to BBS people. All of you take a moment, put our planet in the light, put California, put Fukushima, just hold it in your highest vision of healing and protection. And I thank Carla so much for honoring me as my guest tonight. And I'm thanking Terry for being the quiet person holding the frequency.
Yeah, and I was thinking maybe we can put the New Madrid fault in the light.
Okay, let's put the New Madrid fault in the light. And those of you that are on team shift, keep those things up. And
also California.
Okay.
Fault.
And California.
Okay. Yeah.
And we'll see you, some of you, Wednesday. And on that note, it is 8 o'clock. I don't know if we're off BBS or if we could run late. Some Mondays we can run late. I don't know. Doug, are you listening to me? I already said goodbye, so that's enough. We'll leave you until the next time. And if you enjoy this, let me know. I'll bring Carla sooner because there's so much stuff in the raw material to talk about. And she is the best. So angels to everybody. We'll see you next time.